Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making, as we always do. And I want to say again, how glad I am that Devil Radio now has an app that you can download. Apple and Google and the website, download it. Carry Devil Radio with you 24/7. Listen to your favorite show whenever you want. A lot to talk about today. A lot to talk about. A lot of history made between Friday and Monday. I want to start with Joe Biden's infrastructure bill. Remember, it was about $2.2 trillion. $2.2 trillion. Joe Biden made an offer to the Senate just now that he would reduce it to $1.7 trillion, knock off about 25% of it, roughly. Immediately, there was an outcry from some people in the Democratic Party and a lot of pundits. Pundit is simply a word for a journalist that has a high opinion of himself. He's a pundit. And the Democrats would say, well, you can't negotiate with the Republicans. We did that under Obama, and we kept whittling down the bailout of the auto industry and of the banks. And when it was all said and done, we gave them what they wanted, and they didn't vote for it anyway. And then they went back and took credit for it anyway. So don't negotiate with them. And the pundits, these journalists with big heads, say, well, that's it for Joe Biden's domestic plan. Too many events in the Middle East and in China and North Korea and Russia are swallowing him up. And so that's it. The Democrats' proposals domestically are toast. They're both wrong. Joe Biden has been around since 1972. He has not stayed in the Senate for most of that time, then 8 years as vice president, then as our presidential nominee, and then as president by accident. That didn't happen because he doesn't know what's going on, because he can't read people. He knows all this stuff. That offer to reduce it from 2.2 to 1.7 was in reality not directed at the Republicans. It was directed at Joe Manchin. We supposedly have 50 votes. There are a couple of independents who vote with us. Angus King is an example from Maine, who vote with us. Bernie Sanders from Vermont votes with us. The rest Democrats. And then at best it's 50-50. And then Kamala Harris swoops in and gives a 51st vote. But that depends on Joe Manchin of West Virginia going along with it. That depends on Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona going along with it. And both of them, for whatever reason, I don't fault them. You know, they've gotten themselves elected in West Virginia and Arizona respectively. So they're not looking for advice on politics. Let's put it that way. They somehow think that there has to be at least the appearance of a reduction in this before they can vote for it. For example, originally Joe Biden wanted a $600 unemployment comp supplement, federal, to supplement state unemployment comp benefits for people during the pandemic. Manchin balked. I don't know why he balked. I mean, West Virginia, it would have been one of the biggest beneficiaries of that. It's not an industrial state, not a high wage state, but he balked and they reduced it to 300. And then he signed off on it. And that way he could go back and campaign in West Virginia for some reason didn't want that much unemployment comp. I don't know why. And he could say, I got it down to 300. Biden had to throw him a bone. He had to throw him a bone. And it was not just throwing it to Joe Manchin to get him reelected eventually. He had to throw his constituents a bone, show that he respected them, their point of view. Something like that is going on right now. The $2.2 trillion reduced to $1.7 trillion looks like a big deal. The Republicans immediately rejected it. They will only take $600 billion, and even that, a lot of it is going to be directed to states that then will just cut taxes and no new money is going to get spent. The Republicans are in a shell game. If you go to New York City, go up on 7th Avenue, there are a lot of three-card Monte games. The guy sitting on a stool, and he has three shells in front of him, and which one is the peanut under? And you look at it, and you swear the peanut's under number one, and it's really under number two. I think the guy palms the peanut and sticks it where he wants it, and you lose your money. That is the Republican Party in negotiations on money. They cannot be trusted around money. But Biden makes this offer. They reject it. Biden looks very reasonable. But that offer was for the benefit of Joe Manchin. For the benefit of Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin went to him privately, and they've talked. Said, Joe, I need something. You got to throw me a bone again. I need some more bones. I need bones. And he threw him a bone. The Republicans pointed out, and this was very funny in a way, that Biden wasn't really cutting the 2.2 down to 1.7. The 500 or so difference, 500 billion actually, was made up in other areas of spending. So that crafty, sly Joe Biden is doing the job. He's doing the job domestically. And to the so-called pundits who say, well, his domestic agenda is toast. There's so much to deal with in the Middle East. There's so much to deal with North Korea. We're going to talk about all of this in this show. China, Russia, how can one human being possibly handle that in a domestic program? David Axelrod, he is the legendary advisor to Barack Obama and was one of the people who was responsible for getting Obama elected. Former reporter from the Chicago Tribune. I know him. I have met with him, worked with him on a campaign. And he's a very able guy, very good guy. And he said, in response to what I just said, that argument from the right and from the pundits, like, how can Joe Biden handle all this? He said, the White House is the nerve center of the world. It's the nerve center of the world. Everything that happens in the world is impacted by what the White House does, and the White House feels the reverberations of anything in the world. That's always been the case. Yeah, Biden has a lot on his plate. You think Abraham Lincoln had a lot on his plate? You think Franklin Roosevelt had a lot on his plate? You think that George Washington had a lot on his plate? How did he ever pay and feed an army for that many years? How did he do it? When a lot of the populace just wanted to stay with merry old England, how did he do it? I digress. The fact of the matter is that Joe Biden is plenty up to the task, and as tough as it is right now, there's nothing he's facing that's even comparable to the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, or World War II. We're going to deal with foreign policy today and a few of these topics. And again, Russia, somewhat contained now because of Joe Biden. Donald Trump was servile to Russia, was afraid of Russia because Russia had funded him and his enterprise when banks wouldn't, because he'd gone bankrupt six times and left them holding the bag. Also, the Steele video, Michael Steele, British agent, Steele. I believe that that occurred, but for whatever reason, Trump was servile to Putin. Biden's pressing back, so Russia just froze the bank account of Radio Free Europe in Russia. Radio Free Europe, For those of you who are too young to remember, throughout the Cold War, we had a radio presence in Europe that would beam behind the Iron Curtain. People would listen to it clandestinely in Eastern Europe, in Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, the Czech, when in those days, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Serbia, Croatia, Romania, desperate for news about freedom. It's an iconic institution, Radio Free Europe. Now, Eastern Europe was freed from the Ruskies, although Trump essentially was starting to let them back into Ukraine. Talk about that later. But Radio Free Europe, Russia has now stepped up and is going to shut it down in Russia. It can still operate, obviously, from Europe. Radio waves can go a long way. But under Yeltsin and Gorbachev, it was a welcome, welcome addition to freedom in Russia. Very welcome. Broadcasting American cultural events, music, and so forth. Going to a break. Plenty to talk about. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.